The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Well, it is great to see each one of you here. I am Byron. I'm the pastor here. It is a privilege to have you join us for our Easter Sunday morning. If you have a Bible, take it now and turn with you to the book of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, that's in the New Testament. Also, if you have an electronic version, feel free to open that up as well. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 11 is our text for this morning. Today, as Andrew had mentioned to you, I want to share with you today in regards to how Jesus can give us new and abundant life. Today, in our society and our world, technology is quite amazing. It's a possibility of someone, for example, who has going out, if you will, someone could perform CPR or they could be shocked and bring that person or resuscitate that person back to life. And if you ask that person, they would tell you that they're very much alive. We call someone who's alive, if they've been conceived in the womb, life that has come forth. Physical life. You are alive. You would not be here if you were not alive. You have a heartbeat. You're able to breathe. You can smell. You can touch. You can taste. We're all physically alive. But God has something so much more for us rather than just being physically alive. God wants us to be brought spiritually alive to Him. See, the Bible categorizes all people in the world into two categories. No, it's not race, it's not ethnicity, it's not gender, it's not social status. There's two categories. Basically, those who've been made spiritually alive and those that are not. Under this tent this morning, and those who are listening by streaming are in those two categories. We either have been made alive by the Spirit of God who lives in us through the power of Christ, or either we have not. It's simply those two categories. Today I want to ask you, from the very beginning of this moment, of this word, I want you to ask yourself this question, a self-evaluation question, if you will. To ask yourself, do I have new and abundant life in Christ? Some of you begin to think about that question. Some of you can answer with a resolute that you know for sure. But some of you are uncertain and wondering, have I really been made alive in Christ? Am I experiencing abundant life? Well, today I've got good news for you. I want to tell you how you can have new life in Christ. If you answered positively and you said, yes, I've been made alive, Pastor, from the power of Christ, my next question to you as a follow-up question is, do you have abundant life in Christ? Abundant living is not defined by the possessions that you have, not the money in your bank account, not by the assets you have in your driveway, not the size of your home. It's not based upon how much health that you have. Life is based in Christ alone. And abundant living, some of you in this room that you may at one point came alive in Christ, but you just simply feel that you are existing. And I want to say to you, Jesus came not just to make you exist. The resurrection of Christ came so that you and I could be able to have life and to be able to have it abundantly. And that's what I want you to hear on this resurrection Easter morning, because some of you came this morning and you know that you have abundance life. And today I want to just encourage you to keep running the race and keep fanning that flame and keep the abundant life that you have in Christ. But some of you literally are just trying to put one foot in front of the other every day and you're struggling. Well, I have good news for you today. Because the resurrection power of Christ can make you more than just exist. He can make you live in Him. I want to categorize all of us more than just those two categories of spiritually alive and spiritually not alive. Some of you in this tent think that you are alive. Oh yeah, I know you're physically alive, but you think that you're fine with God. And you're defining that based upon where you are in life and what you have and the things that you've accomplished. And I want to tell you today that if you have not really had a point where you've repented and trusted in Christ, then you really haven't been made alive yet. But there are those of you who are here this morning and you know deep inside of you that you aren't alive. You're hurting, you're searching for something, you've tried everything that you possibly can, and you know you need an awakening. You need hope, you need life, you need meaning. Today I'll have a word for you that God can bring that life to you. But there are those of you at some point in time, maybe in past, you can say, Pastor, I know I gave my life to Christ, but I don't feel like I'm living abundantly. What's wrong with me? I have good news for you today, how God can make that abundance for you again. This word that we have today on this Easter morning, this resurrection power, this resurrection Jesus that we have, can be able to give hope and life to all of us this morning, regardless of where we are in our life. Let's read the text this morning. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 11 is our text that we're going to read. Jesus here in this passage of Scripture, this brief passage, teaches us on how that we can have life, the promise that He can give us. John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." And here's the text. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." How is it possible for you to have this life? Very clearly from this passage of Scripture, it tells us right now that the way, the means to be able to have this life is Jesus is the door, the entry point to be able to have that life. Look at it again. It's right there in verse 9. Jesus says, "I am the door." You know what that means? That means that there is no other way to be able to have salvation in life. He's the only way. For Him to be the door, to be able to get into life and to salvation, means that you can't have salvation and life in any other way outside of Christ. It means that there is no other religion that can promise this kind of life. It's not going to be found in Islam. It's not going to be found in Buddhism. It's not going to be found in Hinduism. It's not going to be found in even you being a nominal Christian. It's not even going to be found in you being a good person. None of those things bring life. Jesus says, "I'm the door. If you want the life, you have to come through Him." He is the only way. Now look at this text there in verse 8. Jesus has said all who came before Him were thieves and robbers. What in the world is Jesus meaning? In the context here, if you were just to read the chapter before, in chapter 9, there's a man who was born blind. He was physically blind, and Jesus healed him, and then he was able to believe in the resurrected Christ, believe in the Son of God. But there were religious leaders who, though they could see with their physical eyes, would not even believe. It was those religious leaders that Jesus is calling thieves and robbers. Why? Because those thieves and robbers were robbing people of truth. They were robbing people of how they could have real life. What they were doing is they were laying upon extra religious laws of people, telling them if they just obeyed so many different laws, then they would be okay with God. Listen, they weren't experiencing life. They were experiencing religion. That's what they were experiencing. And there are thieves and robbers that are standing in pulpits today who are telling you if you just give so much money, you're going to have health. If you just give so much money, you're going to have wealth. If you just be able to pray enough, have enough faith, that everything in your life is going to be good. That's a thief and a robber. Because they're not telling you what is true. I'm here to tell you that if you choose to enter the door, to come into Christ and Him to change your life, everything in your life is not always going to be perfect. But you'll have the power to face whatever comes your way. Jesus is the only door. Now listen, if it means that Jesus is the door, it means you're not going to sneak in any other way. You can try to be good, but you can try to be able to try to find your way. You can finagle Him. You think you're going to be able to compromise, think you'll negotiate with God. Are you kidding me? This is God we're talking about. He's already set the standard that He is the one who says that I am the door. You must come through me. Which means that you're not going to be able to enter into this life just because you've prayed enough, you've gone to church enough, you've been a good deed enough, and you've been given to social organizations. Those things are not the means to be able to experience the life that Christ wants to give you. But here's the good news in this text. Jesus says that anyone who comes to the door can have life. Look at it again in verse 9. "I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Here's what this means. In John chapter 6, just a few chapters before, and verse 37, Jesus said these words, "All that the Father gives will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast him out." Do you know what that means? Jesus, as the door, will never lock the door on you. If you want to come to the door, He will never reject you. He will accept whoever comes. Even if you're sitting in this under this tent this morning, there's been a time in your life that you've denied God. You've denied His existence and you screamed at His face and you said that you don't believe in Him. Here's the good news. If you come to the door, He will let you in. He's the door. And that's what makes Him a good shepherd. Some of you in this room have been rejected before by people. You've been rejected by your family. You've been rejected by society, rejected by whoever it is. And I want to tell you that even if the whole world rejected you, you could come to the door of life and salvation and Jesus will open it wide. He is the door. But here's the thing. If you want life, listen closely. You can't come to the door on your terms. You have to come on Jesus' terms. Well, what are those terms that are right here? Coming to the door, if you're here and you know that you don't have life, the term is you have to acknowledge that He's a door and there's no other way. You can't just simply say, well, I just want Jesus to be a part of my life. No, you have to enter in the door, which means you're coming in His house. You're coming into His flock and you have to recognize He is the only way. You have to be willing to admit to say, my way doesn't work. We are prideful people, aren't we? We all like to think that our way is the best way, that we know it all, we have all the knowledge, we've got all the solution, but to be able to have this salvation, have this life, it's humility to be able to come and to say, you know what, God, I've tried it before, You are the door, and I've tried before, and I'm willing to say that You are the way. And listen, the term is also to be able to say, He's not just one way, He's the only way. You have to be willing to say, You are the door, Jesus, but you also have to be willing in this context to be able to say, You need saving. Because Jesus says, if you look at it, verse 9 again, it says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Before you recognize that you need salvation, before you come to Him for salvation, you have to recognize you need saving. You recognize that you are in the pit of your sin. You recognize that your way has not been possible. So you have to say, you know what, God? I do need saving. I need You to be able to get me out of my situation because my way isn't working. It's like you're sitting in the middle of the ocean. And there's no land in sight for thousands of miles and you're trying on your own. You see how long you can dog paddle. You're not going to last. You need saving. But you also have to be willing to follow because Jesus says He's the shepherd, which means if you're willing to come to Him, that means you have to be a sheep and you have to listen and follow. You can't come to Jesus and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, then you go live the way you want to live. That's not the way it works. If Jesus is the shepherd and He's the door, it means you're all in 100% that you're following Him and you say, I want this. But what are you saved from? Look at the text. What are you saved from? He tells us right there in verse 9, if you come to Him, you'll be saved. You'll go in and out and find pasture. But what are you saved from? Listen to what it says in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. So guess who you are saved from? The thief, the enemy. Listen, in verse 8, he calls the religious leaders, plural, thieves and robbers. And now he narrows it down into verse 10 to one person who is the chief thief. And that is Satan himself. He is the enemy. Listen to me, whether you realize it or not, I didn't know this before I came to faith in Christ. I didn't realize that I actually belonged to the enemy before I belonged to God. You say, I don't like Satan. I don't love Satan. Listen to me. Unless you've repented and believed in Christ and entered to the door and come to Jesus Christ, you all belong to the enemy. And so you recognize, man, I need to be safe from the thief. The thief steals, he kills, and he destroys. John chapter 5 verse 24 tells us that if we believe in Him, we will be saved from judgment. So what are we saved from? We're saved from sin. We're saved from the enemy. And we're saved from the impending judgment that is going to come. Satan is good at what he does. He steals, he kills, he destroys. But Jesus comes to give you what? Life. Now before I talk about life too much, I want you to understand Jesus contrasts what He gives to what Satan does. He's a lying thief and a destroyer. Listen to me very closely. Satan never has any good intentions for you. Ever. He's a liar. And he's good at his job. What does it mean that he actually lies to you? Listen to me. If he's a thief, that means he steals from you and you don't even know he's stealing from you. So how does he steal? Let me tell you. Whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, he will lie to you and tell you to have all the time in the world to get your life right. He'll tell you just go do what you want to do to fulfill your pleasures in life. You got all the time in the world, but not realizing the Bible says your life is just a vapor. It's here for a moment and it's gone. He lies to you and tells you that you can just be a good person and that's going to be fine with God. You can give to charitable deeds and you can feel good about yourself. You can clean out your closet and you can give out clothes and you can give away stuff and you can help people and you feel really good about yourself. And you pat yourself on the back and Satan will lie to you the whole time until you're fine with God, because what he does is he lies to you and makes you think that your good is going to outweigh your bad. And all the time, all that's doing is letting you be deceived to know that you're heading for a judgment that's going to separate you from God. He'll lie to you in worse ways. He'll lie to you about drugs and he'll tell you that those things will bring happiness to you. He'll tell you that it'll make you alive and make you strong, but what happens to you, it destroys your body. He lies to you and tells you that one time won't matter, but what happens is you end up on an addiction and it destroys your family. It drains your bank account and you lose your family, your friends, and everything is taken away from you, and that you think you're alive, but yet you're dying. He destroys. Satan lies to you to make you think to pursue more money, pursue until you reach a certain financial status, because then once you reach a certain level, you'll have it all and you'll feel good. But what happens is when you reach that level, you got to reach another level. You reach that level, you got to reach another level. And he keeps lying to you and you keep pursuing all these things and work becomes your life. And the whole time your family is dying because you're not there, you're not present, and they don't have you. Relationships are dead. Satan lies to you and tells you just get a better car. Satan lies to you just get a better house. He lies to you as men. He tells you pornography is going to be the answer. He lies to you as women. He tells you it's okay just to keep talking about everything else. He lies. And all the time what's happening is you're just digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper into his lies. He steals your money. He steals your time. He steals your life. He destroys your family. He destroys your health. He destroys your bank account. He destroys your purpose of living until you end up at the end of life and you have nothing to show for it. But listen, all the time in his deceptive means, Jesus is the door waiting for you to come. The door is ready and anyone can come to him, and he gives life. Listen to me. Satan, although he is in his deceptive means and methods to trick us to think that his way is better, Jesus never has deceptive means. He has full disclosure. He lets you know who he is. He lets you know the way for you to be able to come life. Listen, where Satan wants to lie, Jesus gives truth. Where Satan wants to kill, Jesus restores. Where Satan wants to destroy, Jesus restores something that he has destroyed in your whole life. And some of you are sitting here this morning and you feel like your life is over, but I'm telling you, whatever Satan has destroyed, it's not too far gone for God, through the power of Jesus Christ, to resurrect your life and bring something new and abundant in you. He can do it. How is it possible? How is it possible that Jesus in John 10, that he says that he can give you life? Listen to me. Listen closely. There are two categories, spiritually dead and spiritually alive. All of us are spiritual beings. We will live eternally, either in heaven with God or in hell away from his great presence and stand forever in judgment. The way that he brings life is he places the Spirit of God in us. Flip with me if you have your Bible open to John chapter 7, verse 38. I want you to see this clear connection of how Jesus does bring life. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says these words: "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Make the two connections together. Jesus is saying, if you believed in him, he's going to place the Spirit in you and he's going to bring you to life. It's going to be like abundant waters coming out of you. This is how, when you get to John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I can give you life. It's because he's going to put the Spirit in you. When you were spiritually dead to God, he puts the Spirit in you and he makes you alive again. Let me illustrate this way. Many people in their lives think that they are alive, but in reality, they're not alive at all. Many of your lives look like this bouquet of flowers. Oh, they're pretty, and they're nice, and they haven't changed in about 5 years. It's artificial. It's just a persona. And many of your lives are like this. You put on a persona and you think that everything that you have is life. The things that you try to get in this world, the things that you're trying to pursue. And Satan will lie to you that what you have is life. But deep inside, if you've never had the Spirit of God come in you, it's all just a front. And it's no life. But if you are willing to come to Jesus on His terms, He would take all the artificial away and bring new life. If you're willing to let Him take your facade, your attempts, your artificial living, and let Him yank it out and come to Him and say, God, here I am. Now listen to me. You can't clean yourself up enough to come to Jesus for Him to work on you. You come to Him, Jesus just said, I'm the door, come, come. And He will take the artificial, and He'll take the weeds of your life, and He will clean it up. And then He does something. Something that's hard for you to even see where you are. He would take the seed. He would take the seed of the Holy Spirit. He takes all the fish artificial away and He plants the seed in your life. He brings life. Listen clearly. Satan takes, Jesus gives. Satan wants to lie to you to make you think that you're alive, but really, I pray that the Spirit of God makes you see this morning in the mirror that you are just a facade. And the Spirit can come and bring life to you. He's the door. Anyone can come. But listen very clearly to me. On this resurrection morning, I want you to hear, Jesus doesn't just want to make you alive. He wants to make you live abundantly. Abundant living. Look at it again in John chapter 10. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it, say it with me, abundantly. Listen, listen clearly. Jesus doesn't want you just to exist. He wants you to live. Jesus doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive, and it comes to the Spirit of God. Oh, Christian, listen to me. If you're just getting up and brushing your teeth and all you can do is just put one foot in front of the other, that's not the way. God wants you to live. He didn't come to die and rise again just so you can exist. He came, He died, and He rose again with resurrection power to live in you, to place His Spirit in you so you could live abundantly in Him. That doesn't mean that you get possessions. It doesn't mean you're getting wealth. It doesn't mean you're getting health. It means that He's going to live in you, transform you, and it's a supernatural work. He makes you more alive than you've ever been. If you've been made alive, you know what I'm talking about. It's more than just getting up and breathing oxygen. It's that you have the heartbeat to be able to go. You have the Spirit. You have the drive. Listen, when the Spirit comes to live inside of you, it's a supernatural work. When you come to the door, when you come to the door of Jesus and you acknowledge that He's the way, when you acknowledge that you need saving, when you're willing to be able to follow in His terms, listen, He places the Spirit in you. He brings life. He plants a seed in you. And it's in that moment you have abundant living. Why? Because the Spirit is in you and He gives you contentment. Contentment how? That you know that you've got everything that you need in Christ. You're contented with where you are. But listen, you have abundant living in Christ because you know you have purpose of living. You're not just aimlessly living anymore. You know you belong to the King of Kings. You know you belong to the Lord of Lords. So you live for His glory. You live for His kingdom. It's no longer about working for my 401k. It's no longer living just to pass on assets to the next generation. I'm living for something that's far greater. So there's abundance in my living of what I'm doing. You have abundance in living because the Spirit of God is in you and He gives you peace. Peace when you're going through difficulty. Peace when you're going through storms. Peace when you don't see the way out. about. It's abundant living. You have abundant living because in Christ, the Spirit of God gives you joy. He gives you patience. He gives you love. He gives you kindness. He gives you meekness. He gives you self-control. How does that work? Because the living God Spirit lives in us and it takes over you and He makes you alive. Listen closely to me for I want to tell you. What you have with possessions doesn't make you alive. What makes you have abundant living is because you have been given God. The Holy Spirit is God, and He's chosen. When you come to the door by His grace and by His power and by His mercy, you had artificial living. Your life was full of weeds. It was full of sin. You bought Satan's lies. Your life was destroyed. But when you come, He takes all that away. He brings life to you, and He gives you Himself, which is the greatest treasure of all. The God of the universe, who created all things, who created you in your mother's womb, it's He, through the Spirit of God, comes to live inside of you. And it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, what family line you came from, what you've done in the past, or what you plan to do in the future, the Spirit of God lives in you, and He gives you new life, and it comes abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For abundant living. Let me tell you this, though. Hear me. According to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul tells us the way that we're able to have this abundant living, and I want to make the connection for you for this resurrection morning. On that day when Jesus was placed in that tomb, on that Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday morning. On that Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, Paul tells us that it was the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, that raised Jesus up from the grave. And then he says these words, that same Spirit is the one who lives in you. Hear that. Hear it. If the Spirit of God can raise Jesus from the dead, I challenge you to tell me one thing that's greater than death to be conquered. Not one addiction, not one adulterous situation, not one broken relationship, not one sin in your life, not one thing that you've listened to that has lived, that's stolen from you, that your life has been destroyed. Not one thing is greater than the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And when you come to the door and you acknowledge that you're a mess and you come to the door that you've been good, but you still need God. And when you come to the door, it's supernatural. He places the Spirit inside of you, that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. So when you wake up tomorrow and you go to work and you have the Spirit of God in you, you know that you can face it because the Spirit is in you. You can say, God, by your Spirit, if you rose Jesus from the dead, I can face this difficult person at work. God, because the Spirit who rose Jesus from the dead, I can face my financial difficulty. God, because Jesus rose from the dead and that Spirit came to live in me, I can face that financial burden that's facing from me. You're going to give me the power. You're going to give me the faith. You're going to give me the trust. You're going to give me the ability to trust in you because you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that life comes forth in your life. Now listen, here's the good news. If that's not good news, I have even better news for you. Listen to John 10:9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone comes by me, oh, here it is, he'll be saved and he'll go in and out and find pasture. Do you know what that means? Once you come to the door, Jesus is all you need. He's using the analogy of the sheep. Once the sheep come to the shepherd, they need to not worry any longer. They know they can come to the shepherd and the shepherd's going to provide for them. So listen to me. God wants to bring life to you. He wants to make it abundant for you. As long as you keep going to Him. So what He'll do is He'll take this seed. And He will grow it. Yeah, I know some of you are better than tomato plants. But sometimes we get impatient with what God is doing. We say, God, you've made me alive. What's happening in me? If you've ever planted a garden with kids, when is it going to grow? But the whole time, when you come to the door and you come on His terms and He places a seed in you and you continue to go back and forth to the shepherd and you stay with the shepherd, He's going to nurture that seed and He's going to grow you and you're going to grow up to be a mature believer in Christ. And then pretty soon, you have fruit. This is what abundant living means. Is that the fruit of your life when you're connected with Christ and that resurrected power lives in you. I am not here to tell you, as the pastor of Redemption Church, that you're not going to face difficulty. In fact, some of you may go to the doctor tomorrow and have a difficult diagnosis. But I'm telling you, but even when you face difficulties, it is the resurrected power that lives in you. He might heal you, but He might make you endure through it. But it's the resurrected power. You continue to go to the shepherd because you know you're not safe anywhere else. But if we're honest, some of you in this room were made alive some time ago, but you don't feel like this at all. You don't feel like you're producing any of this at all. Listen closely. Just because God saves you from the thief doesn't mean the thief isn't still going to try to come to steal, kill, and destroy you. But listen, he can never take you from the shepherd. He can never take you from the shepherd. You belong to the shepherd. But the enemy can come and try to take you, and he can try to deceive you once again. And rather than you going in and out of the shepherd to find that pasture, you stay out longer than you're supposed to. You stay away from the shepherd because you think that you're fine. The enemy says you don't need the shepherd. You don't need to get nurtured with the shepherd. And little by little, you begin to wane spiritually. And that life and that abundant living that was so rich and was so frivolous, it was so full and so joyable, it begins to get less and less and less. Satan lets one sin come in and he'll say to you, just this one time. But the one turns to two, two turns to three, three turns to 10, 10 turns to 20. And pretty soon enough, you're not even in the shepherd's fold. You're just far away. And you're not producing the fruit. When Liz and I bought our house back in 2007, in the house where we are, there were two trees in our front yard. They both looked very green and just moving in, not paying much attention to it, but one day when I was cutting the grass, I began to realize that one tree wasn't green at all. There was a poison ivy vine that had grown up on my tree that had literally gone on every branch, and all the green that I saw was not the green of the tree, but the green of the ivy. Now, I took precautions because I'm highly allergic to poison ivy, and I cut the tree, the poison ivy at the bottom, and began to pull that out, piece by piece. And when I got that ivy out of there, there was hardly any leaves on my tree. Do you know why? Because poison ivy has little bitty hairs on its vine that will begin to connect to the tree, and it will begin to connect and begin to pull life out of that tree. And if the vine gets so big and it produces so much greenery, it can block the sun from actually giving the nutrients to the tree that it needs, and the tree can't produce anymore. It's just existing to feed the ivy. And some of us, some of you, who may have been new at one time and may have had abundant living at one time, has allowed the ivy to climb your life and has begun to take attention, and it's clinging to you and it's going out every particular branch of your life to the point where it's blocking out not the S-U-N, but it's blocking out the S-O-N from your life. It's blocking out the sun to give abundant living to you, and it's going to be painful, but you've got to chop it down. I can tell you, after about 6 years, that tree looks good. It's full of green. And for some of you, You need to come back to the point where you are producing that fruit. But listen to me, just like it took time for this tomato plant to produce tomatoes, it's going to take time. Be patient, because the Spirit's got to work in you. It's got to do some healing in you. It's got to bring some restoration in you. But in time, you will produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the work of the Spirit, He doesn't give up on you. Why? Because He doesn't turn anyone away. Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, there is a mystery that is here. There's a mystery because Jesus promises that if He's the door and we can come to Him and He won't turn anyway, He promises that we can be saved and we can go in and out and find pasture, have living and abundant life. But there's a mystery that's here, because in verse 11, Jesus says these words, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Now, you answer the mystery for me. If Jesus is a dead shepherd, then that means the sheep are in prone to be dangerous because of the thieves that are going to come. If the shepherd is dead and the sheep don't have a shepherd, then the sheep are going to wander. But we're here this morning because we don't have a dead shepherd. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 18. "This reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father." Listen to me very closely. The reason why Jesus is a good shepherd is because He has the authority, He has the power to lay His life down and raise it up again. Listen to me. Jesus' resurrection was not an afterthought. He had to die so He could rise again. So Jesus died to be able to rise again. Why? So that He could conquer death, He could conquer the thief, and He could give you salvation. He could give you life and rescue you from the enemy. So Jesus' death, His resurrection, was so that we could have life. So I ask you the question that I ask you at the beginning. Do you know for sure, in this moment, right now, on this day, on April the 1st, have you been made alive by Christ? If not, in just a few moments, we're going to have a moment where we will respond according to these truths that God has given us. There'll be some people that will be standing up here in the front to be available to be able to pray with you if you need to be able to respond. And you're willing to say this morning, do you say, "I recognize I've never come to the door." Maybe you've stood by the door. Maybe you've come real close to the door, but you've never put your hand out and said, "God, You're the door. I need You." Today you can do that. Come on His terms to be willing to say that you need saving and that He is the door and that resurrection power, and you want life, you want meaning, you want the abundant living that Christ can give you. And today you can do so by simply praying and trusting and repenting of sin and coming to faith in Christ. Then Jesus says the door is open to you, and you can come. You can do that even now as I'm speaking, or at the point when we come up here and have response time. You can say to these people who will be standing there and say, "I want Christ to be my shepherd. I want to come to Him as the door." And you can repent and you can place faith in Christ. And supernaturally, He gives the Spirit in you and He saves you from sin. He saves you from Satan and He gives you hope and life. But there may be some of you in this room who were made alive in the past. And you recognize that poison ivy of sin has been crawling up your life, and you recognize that there's no really abundant living in you right now, and there's sins that you need to destroy. There's sins that you need to repent of. You need to confess those to God this morning and lay those down so that God can bring the restoration and bring abundant living to you again. You're just going in and out to Jesus as a shepherd every once in a while, but you need to be reminded that He wants you to come all the time to give you what you need. Some of you were made alive some time ago. But maybe in the past you've been hurt. Hurt by a church. Hurt by a pastor. Hurt by a religious leader. And if that is you, I express my deepest sorrow. But I want you to know that the shepherd can heal the wounds of the sheep. If you will come to Him, let Him heal you and bring you back to life and abundance once again. And some of you are here this morning and you know you've been made alive and you're walking the abundance of living. You say, "How does this apply to me?" The way it applies to you is, I want to say to you, keep going to the resurrected shepherd so that he can continue to fuel your abundance living so you'll produce more than just 4 or 5 tomato fruits for Christ. You'll produce multiple fruits for the kingdom of God, and many people will come in the kingdom because you are alive. Which one are you? Which one are you? You're either alive or you're dead. The door is open for you this morning. And in a moment we're going to pray. And there'll be people here to receive you. There'll be couples. There'll be individuals. If you need to come to a woman, ladies, there's a lady that will be here. Men, if you want to come to a man. If there's a couple that wants to come to a couple, all those options are available to you. But if you want salvation today, you want to be made alive, come to the door. The door is ready. You simply come on His terms and you say, I want Jesus to be my King. I want Him to be my Savior. You acknowledge He's the door, willing to confess your sins, willing to follow Him from this point forward. Today, Christ can make you alive. But if you are here and you know that there's things in your life that's robbing you of life that Christ wants to give you, you've believed the lie too long, today, turn from those and let abundant living happen in you. The resurrected Christ, the Spirit of the living God who rose Him from the dead, is in you, believer. Let Him let you thrive, not just survive. Would you bow your head with me? As the musicians will come forward for our time for response. Once again, on this resurrection morning, if you know and you acknowledge that you've never come to the door before, you've never come to Christ for salvation and life, then today, come to the door. Jesus stands ready and willing to receive you. People will be here, and all you have to do is walk down and be willing to come on His terms and to be willing to say, you're the door. I need salvation. I'm willing to follow you for the rest of my life. You can come. But if it's you this morning, you've been made new before in the past, and you recognize that you have allowed sin to creep back into your life and you're not living abundantly again, then you can come. And you want us to pray for you. You want us to pray that God restore that abundant living to you again. Come. The door is ready for you to come to it. Father, in this moment of response time, as we will sing and as we hear your truth of your word, we thank you for the power of your truth and your word, that you are the one who promises to give us life. Now, God, in this moment, that if there are any under this tent who have yet to be able to come to the door, but today, God, you're working in their hearts. You're helping them to recognize that they've never come to the door before. They've never truly been made alive. They're like these artificial flowers that they've tried to be alive. They've pretended far too long. But today they want life. So God, I pray, give them courage. Give them faith to step out of their chair, to be able to take that step forward and to be able to say, today I want to come to Christ. I want Jesus to be my life. I want Him to let me be, Him to be my shepherd. I want to be a part of His sheep. Oh God, would you do that today? God, I pray for those who have allowed Satan to rob them, who were believers and they've been robbed of life. Today, God, give them power to repent of sin in their life, power to be able to turn to you, power, let the abundant life be restored to them once again. It is your resurrection power through the Spirit of God that rose you from the dead that can also, that lives in us to give us the power to live. So God, in this moment, help us to obey what you are putting on our hearts and our minds to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The song of response that we will sing. If you need to come to the door, you come. Tell these people here that you want Jesus to be your shepherd. You want the door, you come. We will help you. We will teach you and show you what you need to do. Come to Him. If you've got sin you want to turn from, you were made alive but you feel dead right now, you come so Christ can make you alive. Respond to Him today as He's spoken to your heart.